When he got engaged to his first wife, they invited my sister, his sister, and me to be a part of their wedding. We happily accepted. During the planning, they asked my boyfriend at the time to be a DJ for the wedding, and he accepted. We were getting everything set up for him. We had to travel out of state for this while also getting our dresses. During the time, his sister announced her pregnancy. His fiance did not like that and then kicked her out of the wedding.
Wait, what?
So their
What?
cousin, the girl cousin, announced
Yeah.
her pregnancy and the fiance kicked her out of the wedding for that. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I am your host, Krista Innes. And today's episode is packed with a pretty crazy story, some hot takes, and a deep discussion around boundaries, gender norms, and so much more. And to help me today is my amazing guest, Payal Desai, also known as Payal for Style on Instagram and TikTok. Payal's viral Dusty Sun series has taken social media by storm, challenging traditional gender roles right in her own home, teaching her sons in a way that has resonated with millions. Her series has racked up countless likes and even caught the attention of major media outlets and talk shows. She brings so much background to her stories, her education, and real-life perspectives. But we actually get into probably one of the craziest stories. I feel like I say this every time, but one of the craziest stories I've ever read, our jaws were both like, huh? Is this happening right now? Anyways, we get really deep into discussion because she's got some really good perspective on things. We talk about gender norms, fighting the patriarchy, and so much more. So just buckle up for this episode. We had so much fun chatting. And without further ado, here it is. Enjoy. Hello. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited for our conversation.
I am so excited. I've been following your content for a long time now, and I think And we'll get into it, but I feel like there's so much important messaging that you have in your content. And that is one of the reasons why I thought it was so important to have you on. But before we get to all that, can you just introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, and we'll kind of get into it.
Yeah, so I'm Payal. My handle on socials is Payal for Style. And I am a teacher. I taught for 16 years, teacher turned content creator. This is my first year out of the classroom doing my content full time on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. And I really focus on dispelling, breaking traditional gender roles and norms and challenging ideals of the patriarchy. I have two boys, and so I don't believe that those things in society benefit them. And so we do things very differently in our home, but we're trying to normalize it.
Yes, I love that. And that is why I thought you were so perfect for this, because a lot of these like crazy wedding drama stories I see have to do with mothers of the groom. And not to point fingers, but I know people get really offended by that. But I think it's really important, the message that you share about teaching your sons and how they can treat, you know, like empowering them in different ways of not just mama's little boy and do no wrong, boys will be boys. So I think you have such important messages that people need to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And my question to that would be like, if you are, because a lot of people are very offended by my content, if you're offended, ask yourself why. Like, why, what offends you? Why does it upset you to bring up these topics of like mothers who are overbearing or say things like, my son will be my slowest heartbreak? Like, what? Why are we need to talk about that? That's not healthy. And yeah, so
yeah,
we need to ask ourselves those questions too.
I know. I was just saying to someone, like, I do a mix of like, when I share like different wedding stories, I do a mix. Like, one might be like a bridesmaid drama, one might be a mother of the groom, one might be a stepmother. And when I post mother of the groom, I get messages sent to me that are like, how dare you just target mothers of the groom? You know, there's drama with other people too, or this is exhausted. They'll like comment.
That's not.
Like, why are you offended though? Because if I see a video about like a bridezilla, I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, why would you talk about this? Because I'm like, I didn't act that way. So I don't feel offended. But I think it's such an important topic of this like boy mom of, oh, the bride's not good enough, or
yes,
putting them down, or like, my son's a prince, he can do no wrong, but the daughter, you know, it's her fault.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I have the series that went viral for me was the Dusty Sun series. And the original video that I had seen was a mom teaching her son how to cook so that your dusty daughter's Stover's lasagna won't impress him. And so I saw that and I was like, what are we doing? Like, already you have this hypothetical daughter-in-law that you are demeaning and putting down. You don't even, like, your child is 5 years old and you're teaching him how to cook so that some girl in the future who's dusty, who isn't capable of taking care of him. What? So I saw that and I was like, I've got to flip this narrative. Like, that we need to empower our boys to take care of themselves, yes, but we also need to empower them to respect their partners. And so I just wanted to flip that whole narrative. And now the series is like over 2 years strong because there's a lot of ground to cover.
Yes. Yeah. It's like there's so much learning from it, but I feel like there's still, it's like there's that, I don't know, a hard shell to crack, I should say. There's still some people that are like, won't see that way of like how it can be very toxic to raise their sons to think like you can do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to your standards. Of course, we should have standards, but like that's not just a man thing. Like we should all have standards for
ourselves,
of course. But I think it gets very, very construed.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So let's jump right into some different crazy stories and some wedding hot takes. So starting off the bat, do you have any kind of crazy wedding stories, either things that you've seen or witnessed or had at your own wedding?
Yeah. So in Indian traditional weddings, one of the traditions is that the bride's side will steal the groom's shoes as they are entering the ceremony. And the way that the groom then retrieves his shoes is by paying like the bridesmaids, the cousins, the sisters, the family. He's like kind of earning his way back into the family. And this is supposed to be a very playful, fun tradition. Usually, like everyone knows it's going to happen. So like you steal the shoes and then you get kind of chased around. And then the groom finally eventually like hands off the money, gets his shoes back. But when there are underlying tensions, this can get violent. And I have literally been to a wedding where there were underlying tensions. I don't think that everyone in the room wanted the marriage to happen. And when it came to that point, like it was a brawl. It was a brawl. Like it was fists being thrown, people on the floor. Yeah, it was awful. And it just was not the joyous moment that you would think it would be. So clearly it revealed that there was a lot of tension in play.
That's what a lot of those traditional things, like I was just talking to someone like how the bouquet toss can sometimes get mm-hmm. that way too, where I feel like it's either built up
yes.
or like these women have rivals with each other or men at the wedding are like, oh, during the garter toss, like I'm going to
pull yeah.
this guy out of the way. And they get violent because it's like, that's, I don't know. It's like their time. They're like, oh, it's okay though. This is tradition. It's allowed.
Yeah. Or even like one that I've seen lately, like pop up on socials is like a little different, but it's when the bride and groom are feeding each other cake. And when the groom like takes icing and smashes it or like puts it all over her face, or it's just like red flag, but like too late because the ceremony is over. And so I feel so bad for those women because I just think it's like a precursor. Like that's not funny.
Yeah.
That's not funny.
That is someone that's looking to embarrass you. And they're yeah. like almost inserting their dominance now being like, haha. Because I saw one too where it was like they had literally talked about it for the wedding. So she must have already had some kind of gut feeling or a red flag of being like, he might do this. Hey, I don't want you to do this. I'm not comfortable or whatever. And he still did it. And then you can see the resistance. Like you can see them like fighting.
Yeah.
And you're like, what happened? Okay, if this happens in front of all these people, what's happening behind closed
exactly.
doors?
Exactly. If he's going to publicly humiliate you on your most important day, one of the days you deem to be your most important, right? Man, I can't even.
Yeah.
So.
There's like speeches by grooms that I've seen. It's like they didn't want to get married. So they're going to make a speech about like, oh, she's so lucky mm-hmm. to have me. Like I just saw a video where the guy, all he did was talk about him being there with his boys and never once said, my wife looks beautiful. He literally looked at her and goes, you look all right.
Yeah, it's not funny.
Oh, that's his humor. Like, I don't think so. That's not the mm-hmm. time. Like, tell your wife she looks beautiful on her wedding day. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you are worried or concerned about the way that your partner is going to behave on the day of the wedding, and that's like a foremost concern for you, that in itself is a red flag.
Yes.
You need to think about why you are so concerned about, even if alcohol is in play or whatever, like, why is this an issue? Like, it shouldn't be.
Yes. No, absolutely. if you are concerned that something's going to happen or
yeah,
like maybe let's ask ourselves what's going on here, because I feel like so many times in these stories that I see, it's like they're just so excited to get married, which I get it's a very exciting thing, but let's not sacrifice like our own happiness just to get married and just to jump to that finish line or that next step. Because I feel like you see all these wedding videos and you're like, oh no, they just did this to like, and now they're going to embarrass them during their vows or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have another story that you wanted to share or anything else that you've seen at weddings?
Yeah. So one thing that personally happened to me, Indian traditional weddings, the bride wears red and I chose to wear like this fuchsia pink color specifically because that's the color that my mom wore as well at her wedding. So I was like, oh, I'm going to like break the mold a little bit, but it's still like a very bright, vibrant, magenta, pinkish kind of color. And so that was the color of my sari. I was super excited to wear it. I had told a bunch of people that, you know, like my friends, bridesmaids, like all of that, like I had told everyone that this is the color that I was wearing. So it's not like it was a secret. I had shared it. And somebody in pretty close proximity to the wedding party, I'm not going to say who, showed up when we were doing family photos and had that, like, when I say to the T exact shade on, I'm not exaggerating even a little bit.
Oh.
And it was somebody who I had shared that I was wearing, like, I had sent a photo of my outfit too. And I was just like, in that moment, I was shocked. Like, twins? What? I don't want to
like,
be twins.
I trust with you.
I don't want to be twins with anyone on my wedding day. And I was very, very upset about it. But, you know, this is pre-ceremony. So this is the morning of, what am I supposed to do? I also wasn't going to like tell them to change, but I just was seething inside. And one of my best friends was like, this isn't on you. Everyone's going to look at this and be like, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
Not, this isn't a reflection of you. You've got to remember that. And I was like, I'm still mad. So then the day went on and there were so many other things that I had to obviously prioritize and focus on. And I'm very much like, I want to see the best in the situation. I don't want to react. So I didn't. Okay. I didn't. You know, I never really even confronted the person either, but now it's been like 13 years. So it's not that I'm over it, but I just like, I don't think about it anymore. Like, I don't know, whatever. It's just also something like I wouldn't do that. So
Especially the fact that you shared it with this person and you were like very open about like, hey, this is the color I'm wearing because my mom wore it. And for them to come in, I feel like I'd be very similar to you where like I wouldn't want to cause a stir that day, even though you're not the one causing it. But like, yeah, it's like you don't want to say anything because you're like, that could just make the day kind of surrounded around that.
But my reaction would have, and I think that this is something that happens often, like when you're upset about something and it's the day of, like your reaction is a reflection. You know that it's something that has to be said, then fine, react. But like, there was nothing to do about this. What was I going to say?
Yeah.
So I felt like there was no point in making it an issue, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. Those things are so hard because even when I do like skits of stories that people send me, they're like, I hate that the bride didn't say anything. And it's like, I get it. You want to say something. But at the same time, it's like, if you chose that moment to like make a scene about it, I feel like then there's just awkward tension. And I feel like, yeah, maybe you can confront it later, but it's like at that point, the day's over. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm about protecting my peace. I'm about protecting my energy and my peace. I've always been that way. So I was like, ain't nothing gonna ruin my day. I'm gonna keep vibing. I also think that helps me to also own the moment. This is my moment. Like, no one's taking it from me, no matter what you're wearing.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I totally get that. Yeah, no, that's crazy. I've heard of similar things happening. I've never been to a wedding where that happens. But like, even with someone told me a story where the mother of the bride came wearing like a wedding gown and no one knew. And it was like this white wedding gown that literally was like fancier than the bride. But it was like one of those things too, where like, I don't think she said anything, but it was more like everyone just knew like this mom was being outrageous. What is going on?
There's like, on one hand, it's of course you take pride in what you wear and you want to show up to your child's wedding looking bomb. Like in the future, I'm a fashion girly. Like I'm going to care a lot what I wear to either of my son's big events, right? But it's another idea to like try to show others up or try to show anybody up. And I see that too. Like whenever you have a mom of the groom, I follow this one woman and she had done like a series of videos where she was trying to choose a dress for her son's wedding. And the hate in the comments, because like some of the dresses were like way more fashion forward or modern, or like she just looked good in them. And people were tearing her apart. And I feel like two ways about that, because I don't know what her intentions are. I don't think she's like, I can't assume she's trying to show up her daughter-in-law.
Right.
But right. I don't know.
I know. People always like to assume the worst online, but that's the thing. It's like,
yeah,
if it was the complete opposite, people would have something to say too. That's like how people are online. It's crazy. You can never appease people online.
Oh, yeah.
They're just going to like critique anything at a point where I'm like really trying to learn to like have boundaries with reading comments and like mm-hmm. saying things, because I take everything to heart. And my husband's like, you let it affect you so much. And like, so someone says something to me, it'll like weigh down on me. So I'm like, I'm really learning boundaries with that stuff. So my people online, like the bullies, they don't matter. They're sitting behind a keyboard trying to just
sit
down to their
level. Well, honestly, a lot of trolls are literally teenagers. I'm not lying to you. Like online, a lot of trolls are like high school boys. And I know that because I taught middle and high school. I know that. And so whenever sometimes I'm like going like a dad with like a troll online, I'm like, is this person 15 years old and up to too late past their bedtime? And then he kind of gives me a little perspective and I'm like, a backup. You really don't know who's behind the screen. You got to let it go.
Do you think being a teacher really like humbled you and gave you like a harder exterior at all to things?
I remember,
I was going to say, one of my friends is a teacher in high school, and she was like, sometimes they'll say things where they don't mean to be mean, but then I'm later like, oh, like they'll be like, oh, I've never seen a style be pulled off that way. Or they'll say something like that's almost like, wait, was that an insult?
Oh my God. Yes. I mean, 100% spot on. Two things prepared me to like be publicly on the internet with a large audience. Okay. I'm the youngest of three. I have two older sisters. Okay. So that did me in. And then I taught middle and high school. Yes. Like I would get my haircut and go to school and the kids would be like, why'd you get your haircut? Okay. That's not the reaction I was looking for.
You're like, thank you.
Why are you wearing that? What? And it was just like, it really does just harden you. Like you're like, okay. And we would just I'd laugh it off. Like, what am I going to take offense? So I find that tough exterior really helps me online.
I love the thought of, I should just start picturing these comments as like 13-year-old kids and I'll just feel like bad.
I'm telling you that, yes, that is like, that's a huge population that's on the internet. So it could very likely be a teenage kid.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I feel like it's either that or it's like older, like my parents' age. Sometimes that leave me comments. I've had a few like apologize and they're like, I was having a bad day. I'm like, it's all good. You know what?
Oh, I love that. That's always really great when like all of a sudden you're friendly with your troll, you know, like I've had those moments too, where we like go back and forth and it's like ugly. And I don't know why I'm even participating in this. And then one person will be like, listen, you sound like you're hurting and something might be going on with you. And they're like, yeah, I am hurting. And I'm like, oh my God, what a beautiful connection with a troll.
Right. You see a friend. We need to connect.
And that's got to be the middle school experience too, because a kid could be awful. And then like, obviously the next day, I'm not holding the grudge. It's a kid. So, you know, you like resolve and repair and move on.
Oh my gosh. A lesson for everybody listening. Picture them as just like a kid, just like learning and growing.
That's some top tier content creator advice right there. If you are trying to be online, then like, yeah, you got to picture the troll as a kid.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that. Okay. Let's go into some wedding hot takes and then we're going to get into this week's story, which I've not read yet. I think it's a doozy. It's going to be a good one. Yeah. Okay. So running drama debates. Here are some unpopular opinions that people have sent us. And let's see. This first one says, brides should always pay for hair and makeup if they're offering it for their bridal party.
If it's a choice, do they have a choice in it? Or it's like the bride wants them to all be uniform?
I think if the bride wants them to get hair and makeup, they're saying that the bride should pay for it.
I think so, because I've been in weddings where it's like, I want everyone's hair to look like this. I want everyone's makeup to look like this. And if you're going to dictate what you want me to look like, then you should probably foot the bill.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I've never been in a wedding where you had to get your hair and makeup done. It was always an option. So I've always just, there's been some where I've just done my own or I'll just pay for it. But my own wedding, I told them, I was like, I'm getting a makeup artist that'll be there and a hair girl. If you guys want it, let me know. If not,
yeah,
you feel free.
That's exactly what I did too. I did the same.
Because then it's like they don't have pressure. And I feel like too, like, I mean, a lot of people knew the makeup artist at my wedding. She kind of like went through our friend group. But like you go to some weddings and the makeup, you don't feel like yourself or, you know, and especially as a bridesmaid, you don't have like a trial. I get it. If you're better at doing makeup, just do that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Craving more wedding drama? Join my wedding party Patreon for Here Comes the Drama After Dark. Each month we dive into juicy confessions, wedding 911 advice, and the spiciest hot takes. And of course, we always end with a wild wedding story reacting in real time. From bridesmaids to groomsmen, mother-in-law madness to photographer fails, every month has a new theme. Patreon members get early access to all regular episodes and an exclusive chat to discuss the drama. Don't just hear the drama, be a part of it. Join now. Okay, this next one, thank you cards are unnecessary.
Okay, so for my wedding, thank you cards for after, right? I split it down and I was like, you do your side, I'm going to do mine.
Ooh, smart.
I'm not right. Okay, Indian weddings are huge. I had 500 people at my wedding.
Oh my gosh. You would have like a hand cramp.
Yeah, like carpal tunnel.
Carpal tunnel. There you go.
Writing cards. And again, like I'm the youngest of three. My older sister, she and her wedding cards printed personalized photos from her. So she got her photographer to make sure that they got photos of like everybody at the wedding. And then she found photos of like different people who attended with them, the couple, printed them and put them in the thank you cards. I was like, no, okay, nope, not doing that. That's like really cute and thoughtful. Not for me. And then I took it a step further. I was like, well, I got my side. You can take care of yours because I'm not right. Everything for me has always been like split down the middle. And it works for us, right? Like there was a point where I thought that I needed to, as the woman of the house, needed to do all the laundry because that's what I saw growing up. Right. Like my dad didn't pick up any of his laundry. My mom did everything. And so I was like, when it comes to laundry, I've got to do it all. It took me 2 months of being married to be like, I'm getting my own bin. You do yours. I do mine. From that day on. Like, and now the boys, like, well, my 9-year-old does his own and my 4-year-old's learning.
That's amazing.
Okay, let's go. And my husband grew up learning how to do his own laundry too. So he was like, yeah, I'll do my own. So I was like, okay. But yeah, it's all these traditional things, right? So anyway, I did send mine out. TBD if he ever sent his out 13 years ago. You know what? At that point, like, I'm sorry if you think that's a reflection of me.
No,
it's not.
Yes. I love that you said that because so many people put it on the woman and then it's your responsibility to then double check with him. Oh, did they get sent out? Or it's like, no, that's what we decided. And that was it. Because this is like a mini story, but one of my friends, and hopefully it's okay with me sharing this. I mean, I'm not gonna say who it is, but she said when she like first married her husband, one of his aunts said to her, oh, and she had something like very traumatic happen after the wedding. Again, I don't want to say details, but it was like a family thing that happened. So she was dealing with a lot. Like 2 weeks after the wedding, this aunt of her husband came up to her and said, like, I didn't get a thank you note from you yet. And she was like, I've been kind of going through a lot. And the aunt was just like, well, it's your duty to get that out to me. And meanwhile, she's like, why don't you ask your nephew? Why are you asking me? And it's just this pressure on the woman to be like, you have to get that out. No mind, it's only 2 weeks after the wedding or a couple weeks after the wedding. Something bad happened. You know, it's just like, why are we putting this pressure?
I don't buy into that stuff at all. Again, that's called kinkeeping. And kinkeeping is oftentimes the burden is placed on the woman to keep the family together. You're here. So now you need to work on all the correspondences that occur to ensure that thank you cards are sent out or invitations or birthday cards. And I feel like if you normalize all of that right in the beginning of your marriage, like that's going to now be your task for the rest of time. And if you're good at it, listen, I think my sister, who put the photos, personalized, but I think she took joy in it.
Yes.
Do it.
Yeah.
I don't take joy. I'm not doing it. You know, I think that's fine. Like, even if it's a traditional role, but you really enjoy it and love it, then for sure, go ahead and do it. I'm not digging my heels in just because I want to challenge the system. It's just what didn't work for us versus what works for other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that all being said, though, too, I am a huge proponent of thank you cards myself. I see different things all the time. It's like, if you thank someone in person, like for kids' birthday parties, I get like, moms are busy. We can't always get thank you notes out. I get that. So if you thank someone in person for a gift or they open it, sure, I get it. For a wedding, I think for us, we just like had an Excel file and like, this is how like type A I am. And I was like, I'll just write 10 a week. And then like my husband would label and he would like seal and like stamp them or something. And we were just like, let's just get them out.
But that's really good. That's teamwork. I love that.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny how you were talking about the laundry thing with your husband. Like with us, it was like, I also like automatically put this stuff on my plate and my husband would be like, I'm here. I can sit here with you and do it. And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that with me? And he's like, because I'm your husband, I'm here. And I'm like, oh, okay. And it's stuff like I don't share on my personal page and stuff, but I feel like people would have a field day knowing that he probably does the laundry more than I do. He probably cleans more than I do. Like we split most stuff, but like we found what works for us. And
exactly. And if that's what works for you, then that's great. Like then that's really all that matters. I've been thinking so much, like not to go way too deep, but like I've been thinking about how like everyone really has internalized misogyny within us, especially like the way that I grew up and what I saw as like in front of me modeled.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has internalized misogyny. And one way that it showed up in my marriage is that my husband loves to cook and he always has. And so when we got married, that was sort of the role that he just naturally took. So we would meal plan together and everything, but then he would really execute the dish. And I did not want like anyone to know about this. I did not want his parents to know. Like, I didn't want to make it a topic. I didn't want to tell my mom because every time it came up socially, like it made me feel like it made me look bad. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't fulfilling my duty. And there was even one time we hosted his family over and I made him tell them that I cooked the lasagna. And he was like, okay, like I'll tell them. That's okay. Like, I'll tell them that you made it. And like, I had not. I had assisted. I had sous chefed. I was not doing it. And like, it still counts. But like, yeah, I was so worried about how people view traditional roles.
Oh my gosh. I feel so seen right now.
It's taken me a really long time to just now proudly be like, yeah. And it comes from women a lot of times. Like women will make snide remarks and be like, well, he's the one that cooks.
Yes.
Okay. If I bring a dish to a potluck with friends, they'll be like, well, what did Hiran make? This is my husband. What did he make? He made a buffalo chicken dip and it's really good.
Yes.
But like the tone in which it's shared or like just giving him credit, I'm like, what are we doing? Like there's internalized misogyny in that.
I think it's too. Couples that maybe haven't openly have that conversation of like, you know, maybe the woman does everything.
Mm-hmm.
They almost feel like, I don't know the right word to say, but like when they hear someone's husband does do some cooking, they're like, oh, well, my husband
doesn't
do that. And so it's like an instant, like they're angry that it's not working out for them. I'm not going to say who, but there was someone close to me that like when they found out my husband like cooked dinner for us one night to their husband, they were like, oh, well, you never cook for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just this like awkward moment because I was like, okay, like I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the same. Like my husband really enjoys cooking, and cooking for me has always been like second nature. Like I do okay if I like focus. I don't find complete joy in it.
I don't find joy. I've never really found joy in it. And I think that when you are in a partnership, like we've been talking about, like when one person has a strength and they take it on, it's not as though he's in the kitchen doing everything on his. I'm like behind. I'm cleaning. I'm sure you do dishes. I'm sure you're like part of it because you both have to be part of it.
Yeah.
So I think that when people know he cooks, they just picture me laying on the couch. We have two children. Somebody's giving them baths. Like somebody's doing something. There's always something. My hands are never just idle. But whenever we know that a man is taking on a very traditional role, we automatically are not we, society is, it wants to criticize that. I don't understand it. I really don't get it.
100%. I feel like there's so much more discourse about that now. And the older generations that almost didn't really have a choice, where it was just like the man goes to work, he comes home, dinner should be ready on the table. Maybe even like older, because I don't know. I think my parents' generation was kind of starting to like equal a little bit, but it's like grandparents' generation for sure. It was like dinner on the table when you get home, mom takes care of the kids. And so now that they're seeing this conversation, people that I feel like it worked for them, and they're like, why can't the wife just be cooking? Why can't this happen? It's like,
also, but you gotta question, who was it really working for? Who remained extremely comfortable in the way that it was? If we want to sit here and assume or make these statements about how happy our grandmas were, cross culture, they were not. Okay, they were oftentimes burdened without a choice.
Yes,
there's not a lot of happiness in that. Okay, so you gotta just like be able to critically talk about these things and not just be like, why can't it just be like traditional?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
100%. Yeah. I don't share a lot of my personal life on out here, but like I've had two different molds when it came to my grandparents. And like my grandma that I'm really close to, I don't even know when it was. I was a kid when she got divorced, but she's always taught like such independence. Like she's done everything for herself. And I feel like I learned a lot from her.
Yeah.
It was like, women can do everything. Like she was an ER nurse and she's like, I knew more than the doctors. Doctors would try to come in and they would try to, these men would try to tell me what I knew. And she's like, I knew more than them. And I was like, yeah, you go, girl. And she was like, brought a lot of that out of me because I'm like, she's not traditional in that way. So I was like, yes. We need that.
That's amazing and rare, right? Like I'm sure for her generation that was a little rare, and maybe even getting divorced was not accepted by society because it wasn't as common for her generation. The next generation, yes, it became like more common because women were no longer tolerating and like joining the workforce like full time. You have two parents who are working full time. And if the domestic labor is not, if there isn't equity in that, then it's going to cause conflict, as it should.
Yes, definitely. Oh my gosh, I feel like we could talk about this forever. I love
it. Oh my God, yeah.
I'm so like passionate about it just because I feel like it makes such a difference in the way like I'm able to parent because my husband's an equal partner. I feel like so many women can't speak up about that, or they're just, we're kind of pushed into the role of, and this is not, I feel like stay-at-home moms are amazing. And I think that is your passion and goal in life. Do it.
Yes.
But so many are pushed into that role without asking if that's what they want or if they want more. And I know I can get on a whole topic from
that. I really could too, because I think that a stay-at-home mom, we need to start looking at that as a literal job with duties. And you would never be working somebody around the clock, right? Like you would never give them 24/7 tasks. Like they're working overtime constantly. Other jobs do have boundaries usually, or you can put in place healthy boundaries. And I'm just reflecting on like my job as a teacher, which oftentimes can have no boundaries, but I had to really work to do that. So you've got to be with somebody who also understands what you're doing is a service. It's a job, and you may not be getting a paycheck for it, but you're saving your family money, right? Yeah. So there is like a financial aspect of being a stay-at-home mom. And we need to be talking about that a lot more than we do.
Yeah, we need to be valuing it as that. Yeah, the full job that you were just talking about, because I used to work for like a mommy brand and I worked in a mom group. And so many of these women were just kind of like, almost put in a spot where it's like their husband controlled every single thing. And so it's like they wanted that stay-at-home job mom role, but then they weren't able to like have a certain amount of money. And it's like, no, we need to like value, because by her doing this, you're allowed more time at work, or you're allowed more time to do this. And so, yeah, that's one of the many issues in our society right now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a whole other topic. All right, Ferris and Sloan fans, if you've been hooked on the drama that's racked up over 50 million views across platforms, you're not going to want to miss this. My new novel, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is coming soon. And part one will be free exclusively for my newsletter subscribers. Ferris and Sloan thought their engagement would be the start of their happily ever after. But Ferris's overbearing mom, Kate, has other plans. From sabotaged wedding events to emotional manipulation, Kate's doing everything she can to tear them apart. It's heartfelt, it's chaotic, and it's your new obsession. Will Sloan and Ferris survive the wedding planning meltdown of the year? Or will the drama be too much for their love to handle? Tap the link in the show notes to sign up for their newsletter and be a part of the exclusive group that will get the first part free, plus first access to pre-orders for the full book. The drama is coming, and trust me, you'll want front row seats. Okay, let's get into this week's wedding story submission.
Yeah.
This might be a long one, but so I'm just going to start reading it and we'll stop and we can react, or feel free to stop me at any point. Here we go. Okay. My sister and I were always super close to our cousin and his sister. When he got engaged to his first wife, they invited my sister, his sister, and me to be a part of their wedding. We happily accepted. During the planning, they asked my boyfriend at the time to be a DJ for the wedding, and he accepted. We were getting everything set up for him. We had to travel out of state for this, while also getting our dresses. During the time, his sister announced her pregnancy. His fiance did not like that and then kicked her out of the wedding. Wait, what? So their cousin, the girl cousin,
yeah,
kicked her pregnancy, and the fiance kicked her out of the wedding for that.
Oh, wow. That's awful.
What? So I can't imagine being like, we're engaged this year, so all next year, till next year, you can't announce anything important in your life.
Yeah, don't take my thunder, pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Can't imagine that. Okay, we traveled for the wedding and arrived a few days early so we could attend the rehearsal. During the rehearsal dinner, they handed out gifts to the bridal party. Only our cousin and our family spoke to us. The bride-to-be barely said anything to my sister or me at the rehearsal or the following day. Okay, interesting. Fast forward to the wedding and reception. The ceremony went well, but the reception was a complete disaster. Her parents went through the wedding gifts and cards to pay my boyfriend for his DJ services.
Oh my God, that's so tacky.
This is why, and I've said this before, it's like when you hire friends, they're looking for like a little discount, or they just want to be like not as, I don't know, professional.
I don't think like friends and business ever mix. No.
No.
They don't. That's a no for me.
You need extra like contracts in place, or to really make sure it's someone that you want to work with. But most of the time it's no.
It just gets mucky. It gets mucky. And then you're trying to go through cards to pay the DJ.
The number of stories that I've read about people hiring friends for photographers and vice versa, and then they ended up with no photos, or they ended up with crappy photos because it was someone just starting out. Like, no, we're not doing that, guys.
Well, and with a friendship or even like with family, like a falling out could occur. And so why would you, if it's a professional and you don't have like a relation to that person, there's a contract and you abide by that. But a lot of times if you're working with a friend, like you may forego the contract because it's like, oh, we don't have to make it all official. Like you'll just do it for me.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's always that kind of person that you have to worry about that says, we don't need a contract. It's fine.
You're like, yes, we do.
I don't know. Something's down.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So to pay the boyfriend for his DJ services as they had never paid him before. Also, always get money down for that kind of thing. Because what if they never? Yeah. Who knows if they ever paid him? There was a lot of animosity between her family and ours the entire night. If my family was ever on the dance floor, which was most of the night, her family stayed away. What is the deal? Also, I feel like if something like that happened where they kicked out someone for announcing a pregnancy, I would already be like, this is weird. Like, I don't know, especially like it's his sister being kicked out of the wedding.
Would
you pick up your family and be like, why are you kicking my sister out for announcing a pregnancy?
Do you think that there's like an obligation to including like your husband's female family members in the wedding party? Because I don't think there is.
No.
Like if you don't have a closeness with them, like you should not feel obligated, because I feel like when you do, this is the kind of stuff that happens. Whereas if you're just like, hey, I'm marrying into your family, you're marrying into my family, let relationships happen like organically, and over time people become close or they don't. But like just including them for optics is kind of a problem, I think. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. You always see like pressure from parents or something to have siblings all in the wedding together. And I've even talked to a bride and groom once, and the groom was like, yeah, my parents are threatening to not pay for anything and not come to the wedding if I don't have my brother as my best man. I was like, well, do you want him as your best man? He said, nope.
Listen, the more and more I like have lived life and been in my marriage, like first of all, the wedding day that is very different than the marriage, right? The wedding day is a celebration, but I don't know, for my own kids, for instance, like, I don't know if I will be so disappointed if they like choose not to do something huge. I want them to be happy in life. If that means that you elope, like, I'm still celebrating you. I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind. Like, call me naive. I don't know. My boys are young, but I think that there's this almost misconceived priority placed on, or it seems like ill-placed. Like, what do we really care about?
Yes. I think, it's all about perception or how people are looking at us. It's and I feel like that's where it gets kind of like lost and misconstrued, is like, we get so caught up in what other people think about us during the wedding, or like parents of, you know, and it's like, I still have time.
Or abiding by like these traditions that you don't even really know the reasoning for. If you're a people pleaser, like, it's over. It's over for you because you're not even, the day isn't even about you.
Oh, 100%. So. And people have their own like expectations when it comes to like how long you should be together before you get engaged or married. And my husband and I were together a few years before, okay, we're going 6 years before we got engaged and all that. We lived together for a while. And I know there's gonna be people online, they're like, oh my gosh, that's so long. But like, I think back to like my 20s when we were dating, I would not have had a backbone when it came to planning. And like, we just weren't ready. Like, we wanted to be like ready
for
our careers a little bit more. And we wanted to like, you know, all that stuff, but whatever. And so for me, it was like, I think back, if I were like a young bride, I would have just been like, okay, whatever you guys want. I don't know. Just people pleaser. And like, when I got married, I was like, this is kind of what we want to do. Mm-hmm. My husband and I, we got on the same page. When you're in your 20s, everyone's your best friend.
Yes.
We got married like early 30s. And so it was just for us, we were like, all right, we were able to like cut down a little bit. Mm-hmm. By this point, these are friends that were going to be like with us for like our life.
Yeah.
So there's benefits to both.
I think so. Yeah.
Not knocking anyone that gets married young. It's just different.
It is. As you grow, like, you're a different person. I'm a different person than I was when I got married at 26. So I was a people pleaser, and I wanted to make sure that everyone, my parents, his parents, everyone was like happy. Even if somebody showed up in the same color as me, I was like, that's fine. Okay.
Do you want to stand on stage with me too while I get married?
Do you just want to do it with whatever you want?
Yeah. Do you want to walk down the aisle like with me, or like,
you do you, like, this is really, I'm okay to share the day.
God. Oh my God, so funny. I know. I feel like everyone needs, like, if you're listening and you're a people pleaser and you're a bride, you need a bridesmaid or maid of honor that's going to really like show you like your boundaries, or your husband or partner hold you to your boundaries and like speak on behalf of you if you have a hard time speaking up, because you'll be so much happier if you set your boundaries. Yeah, stick with it.
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. As the night went on, my boyfriend played our family song and everyone was having a great time. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw someone shove my grandfather. Okay, what's going on here? After that, all hell broke loose. Fights erupted all over the hall. Tables broke. And there was blood everywhere. What?
That's awful.
Wait.
That escalated so fast.
I'm like, what happened? Like,
so I feel like there is like a piece of this story missing where there was some like conflict or tension that is not being shared, because there's no way that it went from like kicking somebody out of the wedding and then everyone's angry at each other. Two sides of the family are not interacting, engaging, dancing together, celebrating, and then all of a sudden it's like a bloodbath. What?
Yes. No. I'm like picturing it like Romeo and Juliet right now, where like the two sides are like battling.
And it started off very innocent, like, hey, they chose the wedding party, we're all in it, we're excited, and then boom.
Yeah.
I don't know. What the heck?
Insane. It says the bride's mom got into my face for no reason. Mind you, I was only 18 at the time. She went to shove me, but I was pulled away. Why are people just shoving people here? What is happening? Someone threw my mom to the floor and broke my boyfriend's custom-built speakers. Like,
oh no.
Someone threw your mom to the floor, pushed your grandfather. This is the most violent story I've ever read.
Yeah. That's awful, though. Like, think about that couple.
They can never get their families together until they have, like, a full family therapy session or something.
Like, yeah, that's terrible. And you imagine it probably causes conflict between them too, because one thing that I will say is, like, when you get married to someone, like, you come from very different places, right? Like, you're raised by different parents. And so there's always going to be at least a little bit of conflict, right? But like, you are more willing to forgive and understand your family's behaviors, and they are as well. This is just human nature. And so if there is a big family conflict, it's hard to maintain like what you have with your partner, but then also not be a pushover for your own family. It's a delicate balance. That's all.
Oh, for sure. Because if he was like, oh, like Uncle Bob, you don't know his humor. He just made a little joke. He's like, oh, he's just so crass, whatever. Like, you know,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, but Aunt Mary's the nicest woman ever. You don't know her
stuff. Right. You know? And like, you don't really know these things intimately about your spouse's family. Mm-hmm. So you're not as forgiving. I don't know.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
Okay, wait, there's a little bit more. It says the sheriff or state police arrived. It turned out the bride's parents had told my cousin and his new wife to leave the reception before everything escalated. So they had no idea what was going on. Why would they tell them to leave the reception? That's weird. They didn't stay married very long after that. She had been cheating on him the whole time.
Oh. Wait, maybe that's part of it.
Maybe
somebody knew, and that would explain it a little bit. But I feel like there's definitely something.
Yeah, and it's like, but if she had been cheating, why is her family acting like he did something wrong or his whole family? That is insane. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, that's probably one of the craziest stories I've ever read. I'm always shocked and not shocked at the same time. So I'm like, yeah, the stories I get are so crazy, but that's a whole new level.
Yeah.
That's one for the books. Okay, so this last one is reading follower confessions.
Okay.
So have to do with weddings or events that people send me. This person said, asking people to be in a wedding should be done privately and not at a family dinner. I don't
It's not that serious. You're not proposing. Okay. Yeah. You're just asking them to be in the wedding. I do love like the fun reveals, like the girls will like put boxes together and like then have their friends over and they'll open them and it's sort of like a, I don't know, cute moment.
Yeah.
Not like a theme. So that I always see those on socials and I'm like, that's cute, but I don't know if that would offend me where it happens.
Yeah, I don't think I would care. I mean, yeah, if you're like with a group of people and there's some people you're not going to ask that are there, maybe that's
right.
But yeah, if it's a family and you're like, everyone's here and I'm going to ask my sister-in-law, like, why not?
Yeah.
This confession says, I hated wedding planning, so I told my mom the colors and vibe and let her have at it. Hey, more power to you.
Totally a personal choice. Like, as long as you don't have regrets, honestly, as long as your partner's cool with it. Like, if you both are just like, do it and do it your way. Not for me. I can't like hand off all of that for a day like my wedding, but okay.
I guess, yeah, that's like knowing yourself and being like, you know what?
But I do wonder if that's sort of like a precursor to how you will be about decisions for the rest of your life. Because I do think that like sometimes if you are somebody who involves your parents in every decision, then like all of a sudden, like they're going to like go shop with you and like they're going to everything. They're like so intimately involved in. And some of those decisions, like make it with your spouse. Like you don't have to include your parents in everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Sort of like a pet peeve for me. Like I think that some people take it too far.
I totally agree.
You gotta cut the tie a little bit at some point. Like there's a little too much dependency.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because I know people that have like disagreements as couples and then they'll call the mom.
Yes, this is very unhealthy. Like, yeah, that's like,
we need to figure this out together or the therapist, not bringing in. Because that's like, they're going to obviously have their bias towards like their son or daughter. And
right.
That's gonna make things very weird.
Yeah. So you really shouldn't be privy to whatever disagreement that they're having. Because you will have bias. Like, come on, of course. Like, I made jokes about how, like, my sisters could tell me, like, the worst thing that they've done. And I'd be like, that's okay. You had your reasons. Like, yeah. We have each other's back. Like, sorry.
Yeah, so, no, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right, this last one says, I feel guilt and sadness talking about our very small wedding because we couldn't afford a big one. Ooh. All right, here's the positive thing I will say about that is that you knew what you could afford. You didn't go into it going bankrupt, because think of how many people go on credit card debt because they're like, they want to show off this big wedding. But you can always do a big party later. You could do a 5-year anniversary, 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And just do something special, or a family vacation, and just remember like the moments you did have together. Cause I know it's so easy to compare yourself and like look online, but that's the marriage is what's the important thing.
I don't know. I always go back to this, like the wedding doesn't make the marriage. You could have the most enormous, beautiful wedding, and if that doesn't mean that the marriage is perfect. So yeah, I think that
Kim Kardashian had like a million dollar wedding and was married for like a few months to whatever that guy's name was.
Chris something.
Humphries.
Yeah, Humphries. And then even her like stuff with Kanye, like the engagement was really out of this world, and the wedding was as well. And
exactly. That's no indication of the wedding or the marriage.
Yeah. And I know the grass is greener on the other side kind of thing. Like, it's easy for us to maybe say that when she's mourning the fact that she didn't have like a beautiful wedding, or I wouldn't say beautiful, but like ornate, huge, expensive. But again, like down the line, you can honor the celebration in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's definitely opportunity there. All right. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming. I loved our conversation and how deep we got. I feel like I could talk to you forever about all this stuff. That's why I feel like your content, like I said, I think I've been following you for years now before I even was doing all this stuff. So when I thought about people to have on, I was like, I got to reach out, because
this was so fun. And I never really made the connection, I guess, not in this way, right? Like when you first asked me to be on, I was like, oh, I like, why me? Or like, what are we going to talk about? But then the more I thought about it, I was like, the content that I do actually, I think about the boys' future and their relationships, not even just romantic, but relationships with everybody, right? So it does connect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I feel like weirdly all like, because even when I started doing like wedding stuff, and I was like, it's such like a narrow thing or niche thing, but it really just relates to so many different relationships and communication boundaries. Like there's so much we could discuss on here. It's crazy.
Yeah. The issues too, or the challenges that people face, are extremely cross-cultural. That's something that I've learned from my content as well, is that it resonates amongst many different cultures and even age ranges. So everybody sort of has some kind of tie to it, and then has a way to weigh in and like comment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So for anyone listening, can you tell everyone where they can find your content and anything else interesting or exciting you're working on?
Yeah, absolutely. So Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, the handle is Pile for Style. And I'm working on some things that will be offered off socials. And so some like courses that I'm going to be putting together, and like an audio course, things like that, for anyone interested in raising their children without traditional gender norms.
Yay. I love that. Well, awesome. It was so nice officially meeting you, and I'm so glad you came on. I had so much fun, and we'll be in touch soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Pyle. Thanks so much for tuning in to Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Party Planning by Krista for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.